Stories Bigger Than Texas, the Alamo Podcast. April marks National Volunteer Month here in the United States, a time to honor volunteers and encourage people to get involved in their communities. The Alamo is open 364 days a year, welcoming an average of 1.6 million visitors, including 155,000 school-age children. Today, we reveal how volunteers help inform those visitors from all over the world, the training opportunities available from Alamo experts, and how you can get involved. I'm your host, Emily Balcom. We're joined today by Angela Wolfgram, the Alamo's Director of Living History and Public Programs, Kavon Hunter, the Alamo's Volunteer Manager, and McGee Cuevas, an Alamo Living Historian. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Angela and Kavon, you two collaborate on the Alamo's volunteer programs. How critical are volunteers to the Alamo's success?
I would say very critical, because the way I've always felt about it is volunteers make it very enjoyable, because, you know, employees, you know, they're here for a job, right? And of course, we enjoy what we do as employees. But when you have volunteers, you have people that are just in the public that sometimes they're related to history. Sometimes they have nothing to do with it, or have done other jobs, different careers. And when they come here, you can get somebody that's very passionate, and they are kind of like, you know, more down to earth. And I think guests connect with them. They're like, I'm here because I want to be here. It's so much fun and things like that. So I say it's very critical for creating the right atmosphere that we want to create.
And volunteers do all kinds of things. They give directions. They answer historic questions. They help families.
Yeah, I mean, really, for the Living History and Public Programs Department, we couldn't do each week of work without the help of volunteers. We are a small department, and we put on programming every single day of the year, except for when we're closed on Christmas. And so having these committed volunteers who come every single week, and some who come for every single big event, I mean, it's just critical to have them there. And they're all very committed. And like Kavon said, they're bringing that passion, not that staff aren't passionate, like Kavon said as well, but they enjoy being there. They want to be there. There's kind of a lightness to their interactions with visitors as well. So I agree. I think they help create that atmosphere in addition to just truly helping us work through the logistics of being open every day.
When you volunteer, you're doing it for the pure love of it.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
The Alamo has volunteers of all ages who come from all walks of life. But Kavon, I've heard you say that retired service members and retired teachers tend to be especially drawn to the program.
Yep, because most of the time, that's when you have the most time. You know, if you're out there working, trying to raise a family and just save money, volunteering is kind of hard to do. Most of the time, we get people who have already finished their careers, or, you know, have already made their money or did whatever they need to do. So now they're saying, like, you know, how can I give back my time to the community? And sometimes they're just bored and they want to get out the house. So they're like, I don't want to stay home. So they're like, let me get back out and do that. And then, of course, it helps if they're related to the field, like either they were in the military, so they're interested in more of the military aspect. If they're a teacher, they can say, I can teach now, but it's more fun. I don't have the same restrictions with the administration, or I don't have to make sure I have to grade tests or anything. I can just
the same
teach.
Hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes when you get into careers, you know, you do it. It starts off as a passion, but you also have work with it and other requirements. Here in volunteering, you're just doing it for fun. It's all about fun. So,
McGee, you started volunteering about a year ago, and you must have really enjoyed it, because we're now fortunate enough to have you on the Alamo staff. So let's start with the beginning. What drew you to volunteering?
So I've actually been volunteering for a variety of different organizations for a really long time. It was actually a graduation requirement for my high school program. I had to get 100 service hours through volunteering at the food bank or at the public library and other organizations. So all through high school and college, volunteering was really a popular thing to do, and that really something I loved doing. So coming to the Alamo was really just something that was fun and sounded enjoyable for me.
Really very fortunate that your high school required it and it fostered this love. And once you started at the Alamo, what did you like about it that kept you coming back?
I really loved being able to interact with people, both the employees and the guests, who all seem to have a real love for history and the space.
You're also pursuing a history degree in addition to working here at the Alamo.
Yeah.
You're busy.
I definitely would not say it's easy. working and going to school is not for the faint of hearted, but it will definitely be an accomplishment when I graduate.
And it goes hand in hand, the history degree and working at the Alamo.
Definitely, definitely.
McGee's journey has taken her from volunteer to staff member. And Angela, that's a fairly common journey around here.
Absolutely. So I think one good thing about a path like McGee's is that she already had a sense of daily operations and the sorts of interactions we have in the Living History Department and just like the actuality of being here. And we already had a sense of her great character, her work ethic, and her passion. So it was just kind of a natural progression. And that's happened several times just in my department since I've been at the Alamo. It's happened, I was trying to count before, I think at least three times. And that's just my little department. And that's just since I've been here. So it really does happen very frequently. And I think it just shows that we don't take volunteering lightly. Volunteers are truly integral to what we're doing, and we really value their time. I considered McGee a colleague from day one of meeting her. So then when we had a position available, I was like, oh yeah, let's see if she's interested and go from there, because we were already viewing each other as teammates.
But there are also volunteers who have been here for decades, who have careers in other fields and are happy to stay on the volunteer level, and that's A-OK.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think one good thing about volunteerism is that you can really kind of craft your own schedule.
Yes.
and also, too, I mean, I know for the Living History Department, it can be incredibly physical. We're setting up things, taking down things. I mean, just today, we're going to have to set up at least one tent and, you know, make some alterations to the encampment. I don't expect volunteers to do that unless they really want to. So there's a little bit of a flexibility there, and that's very appealing. But then I think Kavan talked about earlier just people coming from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's interesting that people's passion for this place and their volunteer work here is one slice of who they are. And then they keep going on, you know, their regular career path or their other passions. And I just think that's really neat. So we're grateful. Like anytime people could give us, we are grateful to have them here.
That's something I was thinking about, because, you know, a lot of people, even if they want to necessarily do it all the time as a career, you know, people have hobbies. Some people may like fishing pretty often. They'll do it on the weekends, or for me, I like to play games a little bit, video games a little bit, so I'll do that. So it's just volunteering, like Miss Angela said, it gives you a lot of flexibility, and also it just gives you a lot of, especially I say this a lot for people who are younger, when you volunteer, you can kind of get a gist of how this place is or what it would be like to work in this environment. And sometimes volunteering is a great opportunity to kind of test the waters without having the same pressure of actually being an employee there. So you can say, okay, is this something that, you know, I want to do long term, or is this something, you know, I could do for my career? And if you decide no, but I love volunteering, why not just keep volunteering? So I think it just, there's so much flexibility when you volunteer.
Yes, it absolutely helps students and people who are trying to choose a career path understand the reality of working.
Exactly.
That's how I got started in the public history field, is I was volunteering at a historic site, and then eventually went on staff with them. And if I hadn't been volunteering and getting a sense of what it entailed, and also just getting to be known at that historic site and knowing the people around me, that wouldn't have happened. So, yeah, that's a great point.
McGee, how did it help you test the waters to choose a career?
I've done the volunteer to career pipeline once before at Northland College in Wisconsin, where I was going before OLU, where I am right now. There was a volunteer position in the alumni archives, and so they wanted someone to like dig around and put things in boxes, and I was like, I'm okay with digging around in the creepy attic with the ghosts and looking for
stuff. Sounds great for a history major.
I know. I was like, I'll do it. And so I would spend like 2 hours a week, and I would like put things in boxes and organize things and catalog things, and then I discovered I really like archiving. I really like analyzing things. I really like data collection, which is not something I thought I would ever say, but it gave me confidence to be like, yes, I want to go into the museum field, or yes, I want to go into the archiving field. And so I saw volunteering in the Living History Department as another example of that. It was like, I've never really done living history, but I enjoy costuming. I enjoy history. I enjoy talking to the public, but it was like slowly easing my way, building my confidence to be like, I enjoy doing this. This is something that's fun. This is something that's enjoyable. This is something that I'm confident in mm-hmm. saying that I'm good at.
Kavon, what are the requirements to become a volunteer here at the Alamo?
We try to get, we've mostly done 18 or older for the most part. You apply online. On there, you can create a profile. And that way I have, you know, kind of all your information that I need from you, numbers, emails, things like that. I set up an interview with you. I get the emails, get directly to me. Then after the interview, we have a process of pretty much of very hands-on training. So we'll do a training class, which entails orientation. I'll tell you about, you know, what we expect, what's your conduct like, go over the volunteer handbook, the boring stuff first. But then also with that training, you get a history talk and you get a different aspect of Alamo history. For example, today, I just had one just today. The talk was about misconceptions and legends about the Alamo. So that was a training debunking, you know, some of the maybe misinformation you get about the Alamo or, you know, some of the legends that are not quite true. And then after that, there's 3 shadow days with me where I will go over different aspects of the Alamo site. One day is the Alamo grounds. Another day would be the Alamo church. And then the third day is usually the collection building. Of course, we also do the background check during the process. We want to stay safe here, too.
So. Family-friendly environment here exactly. at the Alamo.
And then after that, you're a full-blown volunteer. We get you your shirt. We get you your badge and everything. And we just continue to also help you grow as you go along, too. So
volunteers must commit to at least 12 hours yes. of volunteering a month, but the hours are flexible.
Yes. Well, we also kind of have 2 different volunteers. So we have the ones that, you know, get the T-shirt and the free park and everything. Those are usually our active monthly volunteers, essentially. And we try to give them, you know, 12 hours per month, which essentially is one day per week. And we try to get them to go consistently on a certain day. So I have some volunteers that are here like every Tuesday. And of course, you know, if you can't make it, just communicate with me. And we're very flexible with that. And then I have event volunteers, people that just come for big events, especially with living history. We just had a commemoration, so things like that. So I kind of have 2 different categories. But usually if you want to be active, we usually try to get you about that 12 hours per month.
There might be people listening who think, gosh, I would love to volunteer because mm-hmm. I love the Alamo, but I'm not a history expert. Mm-hmm. I don't quite feel qualified. We want to reassure them, and you just mentioned this, there is lots of training available.
Yes. Yeah, you'll get a lot of training. Like, we'll take care of that. If you don't know anything, you'll do train with me. We have a lot of historians that are very knowledgeable. So usually the history aspect, you know, we're going to train you. You know, we're going to make sure you know what, get to know what you need to know. The other thing also I would point out to people is just because you're not strictly in a history field doesn't mean history is not part of what you do. Let's say if you're like a lawyer, right? When they make arguments, what do? They use history. They go back to, we established this is the law based on this former argument set down in this case, I don't know, something, United States versus whatever. So just because you're not strictly in the field doesn't mean you don't have the qualifications, because history at the end of the day is what you're reading and comprehending what happened before. You're communicating with people. You're talking with people. You're trying to get your point across to people. So there's a lot of fields that encompass that. So just because you're not strictly in history doesn't mean you don't have the skill set for history. So that's what I would say, remind people of.
You mentioned some of the perks of your monthly volunteers, the mm-hmm. free downtown parking,
yep.
free admission to the Ralston Family Collection Center, discounts on Alamo tours and yes. at the Alamo gift shop.
Yes.
There are also in-depth workshops with the Alamo's experts. Tell me about mm-hmm. that.
I usually try to do workshops. Each month I vary it. And one month we may do, let's say, Alamo weapons. And we talk about what weapons were they used here during the battle. And we also talk about the science behind the weapons. You know, what goes into firing a weapon? Why does a gun fire? Why does black powder matter in the weapon? Things like that.
And Mickey, when you've been to these workshops, what have you taken away from them?
I think they're a really great experience because you are talking and communicating and learning from people who are like the expert in the field. It's not every day you get to get a lecture, pretty much a private lecture from Ernesto or mm-hmm. Colby. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is actually insane.
That is what our podcast listeners like, too. Yeah. They do get these lectures from Ernesto and Colby
to, like,
and Thomas.
Ask them questions, specific questions about the battle or certain cannons or the mission period. And it's like, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And you get to get their opinions right then and there. And it's actually bonkers that's available to volunteers.
And to get this kind of information, you literally have to take a class. You have to pay money to get this kind of information or sign up for something, some special event, whereas volunteering, you get for free. all the time. So.
And I think, too, we also have a culture here at the Alamo that everyone wants to keep learning. They want to keep growing in their knowledge. And so I think all of the individual departments and collectively, like, we're just always asking questions. We're always recommending things to read. We're having discussions. Mm. We have some very deep dive, nerdy discussions in the Living History and Public Programs Department, especially. But I think there's just a culture of everyone's curious. And even just the Living History staff, there's such a wide array of backgrounds. And that is absolutely the case with all of our volunteers. They're just coming from every walk of life. And they know that if they have a question about anything or if there's a topic they've been wanting to dive into, there are going to be a number of people around who will either, you know, help walk them through that topic directly or have a resource to recommend.
And something else I also add when it comes to training, in addition to the workshops, also on my with my volunteers, I have a database where I keep, where I post information. I have guides. I have Alamo Plaza guide. I have Alamo Church guide. I have a reading list of books you should read. I have in my office too, I also have a library of books that I rent out. Well, I don't rent out. I don't get any money for it, but I check out to volunteers, and they can come at any time and say, hey, come on, do you have this book? I'm like, sure. Let me check it out to you. Give them the book and let them read it, and they'll bring it back. You get a lot of history from, you know, the people that work here, but you're also getting written material, too, that you can study, depending on what type of learner you are.
And you mentioned shadowing days, too.
Yes.
That doesn't have to stop after the third day of shadowing. I mean, really, you're always kind of shadowing. There's also a culture, too, of if there's a topic that you've not been able to learn about, like shadow this person, take the time to learn it. We're not trying to put pressure on people here to just be ready out the gate on everything. It's 300 years of history. That's a lot.
And shadowing, if you didn't catch that, is kind of following someone around.
Yes.
Kind of listening to their talk, listening to their spiel, whether they're talking about either the Palisade or medicine or just talking about the plaza or the church. So you can kind of see their techniques, how they talk to people, what they're talking about, what things they pick out.
What does a typical volunteer shift look like?
Typically, we have it divided into two shifts per day, so 9 to 1 or 1 to 5. And then we also have different areas. So I have one shift that's open that says Alamo Church. So if the volunteer comes, depending if they pick morning or afternoon, they'll usually stay around that area the entire time, and they'll focus just on the Alamo Church. And that also lets them know what to study beforehand. They're like, I'm going to be in the church today, so I'm going to develop this talk for the church or collections building or things like that. We want them here long enough, but at the same time, we don't want to overwork anybody. And like you mentioned before, a lot of our people are retired or, you know, people who are usually further along in years, so they're not going to want to stand on their feet all day. So we want to make sure that we don't overwork anybody because this is fun. You're volunteering. We want you to have fun when you come here.
McGee, when you were a volunteer, did you have a favorite area you liked to be stationed at?
So Living History is, I got to wander a bit more, but I liked being out in the plaza as a greeter. So it usually entailed giving directions, showing people how to get into the church, where to get their tickets. I also got to see like people's first reaction to the church, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But you also got to see some people like walking around and turn around, and you could see their face, and they were like, oh, I'm here. And it was like, yeah, you are.
It's also fun to ask them, like, where are they from?
Yeah.
Right. We do also have volunteers, I don't know if we've mentioned yet, who help lead school tours as well. So that's also like a very regulated process where you show up at an allotted time a little bit before that group is going to arrive. Mm-hmm. And usually you've done extensive training with the education team just so you feel very confident to lead a school group around. You'll take them around. So yeah, that's very regulated and very essential because we have so many school groups coming. Mm-hmm.
What would each of you say to encourage people to sign up to be a volunteer?
Well, I know Kavan and I were talking about just how there's a lot of opportunity now, but there's so many to come because the site's going to continue to grow.
Get bigger, yes.
And so, I mean, it's, we don't even know yet probably all of the areas for people in the future. But when we have our additional museum building and interpretation around the site and a variety of activities going on all the time, I mean, I really feel like there's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly, because with the new education building going up and there's so much opportunity, coming up. And I always tell people, you know, you can come here, free experience, especially for younger people, if you're trying to get your foot in the door for the career or whatnot. But even if you're a person that's, you know, done with your career and you just want to volunteer just for the sake of it, one of the things, and it kind of goes back to the other aspect, talking about if people don't feel confident because they're not in the history field coming to volunteer. Even with history, there's different aspects of history. It's not all about just remembering dates. We have a talk, I think Living History does, about medical kit, right? That's perfect for somebody that's in the medical field, and they can talk about the different techniques they used back then versus the way we take care of people now in the medical field. We have some people that are more interested in science. And like I said before, one of our history talks, we had one of our staff members, she talked about the science of firing a weapon, explosions, and just because you hear history, don't history encompasses a lot of different things, and it's meant for a lot of different people. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. You can look at the military aspect, or you can look at the medical aspect. We have a volunteer that does what was the average citizen like in the city of San Antonio or Bejar at that time. What did they do? What did they eat? How did they live? So it just really, it comes down to just studying about pretty much the history of how we moved in the world and how we've done things historically. So that's all it's about. So that's how I encourage people to do it. Just get experience and you can utilize your talents in different ways here. So history provides that flexibility.
Things are moving and shaking at the Alamo. Moving and shaking, figuratively and literally.
Yes.
And volunteers will always be needed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Angela Wolfgram, Kavon Hunter, and McGee Cuevas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Be sure to check out the podcast notes. We've linked the volunteer section on the Alamo's website where you can complete your application to become a volunteer. There are also ways to chat with Kavon directly. I grew up in the answering machine era, so I'll repeat them twice. You can email khunter@thealamo.org. Again, khunter@thealamo.org. Or call 210-225-1391, extension 4005. Again, 210-225-1391, extension 4005. You've been listening to Stories Bigger Than Texas, the Alamo Podcast.